Have you audible, Vinay?
Yes, loud and clear.
Excellent. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Innomet Advanced Materials H1 FY26 earnings call on Zoom. My name is Muthu Kumar from Wisdom IR, the company's investor relations partner, and I will be your moderator for today. We will begin with a presentation from management, after which we will open the line for your questions. For the Q&A session, if you have a question, please use the raise hand feature located in your Zoom webinar controls. I will call on you by name and unmute your line so you can ask your question. Please kindly limit yourself to one question and one follow-up to allow time for others. And now it is my pleasure to hand the call over to the leadership team of Innomet. We will first hear from Mr. Vinay Chaudhary, Managing Director and CEO, for the business and strategic update. He will then be followed by Ms. Sarita Devi, Director and CFO, who will walk you through the financial details. Vinay, the floor is yours.
Yeah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Muthu, and warm welcome to Innomet Advanced Materials earnings call for the first half of the fiscal year 2026. My name is Vinay Chaudhary Chilakapati, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and I am joined today by my colleague Sarita Devi, our Director and Chief Financial Officer. We are incredibly excited to present our results today, which we believe mark a significant inflection point on Innomet's growth story. This presentation will not only cover our strong financial performance, but also the strategic milestones that are setting the stage for our future. Let's begin. Next slide, please. We will start with a brief overview of who we are. Next slide, please. Innomet is a leading specialized manufacturer in the high-value add space of powder metallurgy. Our core expertise lies in two critical areas. First, we are a leading manufacturer of specialty ferrous and non-ferrous metal powders. Second, and increasingly significant, we are a premier producer of tungsten heavy alloys, or THA for short. We provide critical solutions for sectors where failure is not an option: aerospace, defense, energy, and radiation shielding. Our credibility is backed by stringent international certifications, a growing blue-chip client portfolio, and the trust we garnered through our successful IPO in 2024. We are not just a manufacturing company; we are a solutions provider for technologically advanced industries. Next slide, please. Today's presentation is structured into four key sections. One, a detailed overview of our robust H1 FY26 financial results. Second, a refresher on our company background and foundational strengths. Third, an outline of our ambitious growth strategy. Fourth, and finally, our update on our sustainability initiatives, which are core to our operational philosophy. I will now hand it over to Sarita to delve into the numbers. Go ahead, Sarita.
Mr. Vinay, and very good afternoon to each and everyone who's present here for this earnings call. It's my pleasure to present our financial performance for the first half of FY26, which demonstrates strong accelerated growth across all key metrics. Let's now dive straight into the heart of the matter, our financial performance for the first half of FY26. Can we move the slide, please? Okay. So the charts on this slide vividly illustrate our powerful growth trajectory. I'm delighted to report that our revenue from operations for H1 FY26 has surged to 23.53 crores, and this represents a remarkable 61% growth year-on-year and a very strong 32% growth, sequential growth over the second half of FY25. This is a clear testament to the increasing market acceptance of our products and our enhanced commercial execution. More importantly, this growth is translating effectively to our bottom line as well. Our EBITDA for H1 FY26 stands at 4.26 crores with an EBITDA margin of 18.1%. We'll also notice a significant sequential improvement from the 9.5% margin in H2 FY25, reflecting better operational control and a favorable product mix. And most notably, the important factor that is PAT for H1 FY26 stands at 2.02 crore with a PAT margin of 8.57%. This represents 18% growth year-on-year and a staggering improvement over the previous half year. This performance is particularly commendable as it was achieved despite headwinds from a higher raw material cost and increased depreciation from our recent capital investments. Our EPS has grown to rupees 1.56 per share, underscoring the direct value creation of our shareholders. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so this table actually provides a more granular view of our P&L. The key takeaways are the consistent strong growth over all line items. The 61% jump in the operational revenue is the primary driver, while our EBITDA margin has normalized from the exceptionally high levels of H1 FY25. It has rebounded strongly from the last half and sits on a very healthy 18.1%, demonstrating our ability to maintain profitability during a rapid expansion phase. The sequential growth impact over 1100% is a clear indicator that we have moved past a temporary phase and are now on a sustainable growth curve. The financial foundation of the company is solid, and we are generating profitable growth. Now, I will hand over the presentation back to IMD, Mr. Vinay Chalakpante, to discuss what is driving these results. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarita. So these numbers are a clear outcome of our strategic execution and foundational strengthening we have undertaken in the recent past or for many decades. Next slide, please. So reflecting on these results, our management team is immensely proud. We have delivered a strong start to the FY26, driven by robust demand and strategic execution. The improvement in EPS to rupees 1.56 is a key metric we focus on. Completing 1 year as a listed entity in the NSE SME platform, we firmly believe Innomet has reached an inflection point. The past year was not just about financial performance, it was about building a formidable foundation for the future. Key to this were our quality certifications, including the prestigious AS9100D for aerospace, which has dramatically enhanced our credibility and unlocked doors to highly regulated global markets in defense and aerospace. Our global marketing efforts have been intense and fruitful. Participating in premier forums like the Defence Expo in the UK and the PowderMet conference in the US allowed us to showcase our engineered solutions on a global stage and forge strategic long-term relationships. To institutionalize this global push, we have engaged a US-based industry expert and appointed an executive, exclusive sales representative, also appointed Scope Metals in Israel, to tap into this technologically advanced market. Our outlook is unequivocally positive. These strategic initiatives combined with our focused marketing have positioned us perfectly to win significant new export orders, substantially broaden our customer base, and drive sustainable profitable growth in the coming quarters. Next slide, please. This slide details the tangible progress behind our commentary. The AS9100D certification for our THA division is a game changer. It's not just a certificate on the wall. It's a passport to the global aerospace and defense supply chain, demanding the highest levels of quality and traceability. Our global presence at PowderMet 2025 in the US and DSEI 2025 in London, which is a defense expo, has put Innomet on the world map. We are no longer an Indian player. We are a global contender in advanced materials. This is already translating into healthy order pipeline. We are proud to have secured defense establishment orders in the tungsten heavy alloy division worth 8.1 crore and a significant export order in the metal powder division. This is just the beginning, and we are actively working on converting a much larger pipeline of opportunities. Next slide, please. Now, let me step back and walk you through the evolution of this company, which demonstrates our inherent ability to innovate and adapt. Next journey. in our journey. Our journey began in general engineering way back four decades ago. In 1996, we entered into the diamond tool space. After that, a pivotal moment was in 2004 when we ventured into specialty metal powders. In 2010, we further expanded into tungsten heavy alloys. Today, we are not resting on our laurels. We are actively developing next generation materials for the future, including fuel cell components, tungsten composites, and electrodes for electrolyzers. This evolution shows a consistent thread of forward thinking and a drive to be at the forefront of advanced materials. Next slide, please. Our journey is powered by a leadership team with complementary strengths, all united behind a long-term vision for Innomet. My focus is on driving our overall strategy and market vision. Sarita, our director and CFO, anchors us with robust financial stewardship, and Mr. K. Ramesh, our vice president, leverages his deep metallurgical expertise to guide our technical innovation and product strategy. Next slide, please. Our business is structured and around two synergistic manufacturing divisions. The first one is metal and alloy powders division. In that division, we produce a vast portfolio from matrix powders for diamond tools to advanced copper mixes to stainless steels and powders for additive manufacturing or 3D printing. We cater to a diverse and resilient set of industries, including automotive, welding, brazing, surface coatings, chemical catalysts, aesthetics, and the fast-growing additive manufacturing sector. This diversification de-risks our businesses and provides multiple growth vectors. Next slide, please. Tungsten heavy alloys. Our second and highly synergistic strategic division is InnoTung, our tungsten heavy alloy solutions. We take great pride in being the only private Indian manufacturer of these critical alloys. These materials boast exceptional properties like very high density, an extremely high melting point, and a high radiation absorption capability. This makes them indispensable in defense for penetrators and prefragments, in radiation for medical and industrial entity devices, in aerospace for balancing, and in various high-performance engineering applications. This business is a cornerstone for our future growth. Next slide, please. Technical collaboration and R&D focus. Innovation is our lifeblood. We do not operate in isolation. We have established strategic technical collaborations that are already yielding significant benefits. For instance, with one partner, we have successfully set up a state-of-the-art gas atomization facility at our plant, a critical capability for producing high-quality spherical powders. We are working on becoming a sole supplier to major players like Tata Steel, developing import substitute products that have natural export potential, and pioneering components for hydrogen economy. Our R&D pipeline is rich with opportunities that promise tremendous business potential. Next slide, please. Our quality and reliability are best demonstrated by the clients we serve. Our metal powders are trusted by renowned international names like Hoganus, GKN, and Tenneco. Our tungsten heavy alloys are being supplied to esteemed organizations like BDL, HAL, Solar, Keltron, and Scope for critical defense and aerospace applications. This diverse and prestigious clientele is a robust validation of our technical capabilities and our value proposition in the global market. Next slide, please. Currently, our revenue is predominantly driven by our strong metal powder business, which constitutes 87.6% of H1 revenue, with tungsten heavy alloy contributing 12.4%. Geographically, while domestic sales are our stronghold, 84.9% of our exports are strategic and rapidly growing segment at 15.1%. We have a meaningful presence in key developed markets like Germany, USA, Japan, and many other countries. A key part of our strategy is to dramatically increase both these wedges, the tungsten share, the tungsten heavy alloy share, and the export share. Next slide, please. This brings me to the most exciting part of our presentation, our clear and actionable growth strategy. Next slide, please. Our target is ambitious yet achievable, to cross 100 crore Indian rupees in revenue without additional major capital expenditure, by leveraging the capabilities and capacities we have already built. Our game plan is two-pronged. Firstly, we will aggressively boost exports. Our recent aerospace certification is our key enabler. We will intensify international marketing to capitalize on the global China Plus One strategy, making Innomet a reliable, high-quality alternative for global supply chains. Second, we will strategically expand our product portfolio. We are actively working on high-potential prospects in fuel cell components, green hydrogen components, products like camera bodies and casks have already received necessary approvals and are moving into bulk production. Our new gas-atomized powers will improve profitability, and as part of our long-term vision to become a 1,000 crore company, we are continuously exploring high-growth strategic and defense materials. Next slide, please. We believe that true growth must be sustainable. Our commitment to the environment is integral to our operations, not as an afterthought. Next slide, please. We run a green campus. We have achieved net zero water discharge through rainwater harvesting and bio-STP. We contribute to the circular economy by recycling copper and steel scrap. A 280 kilowatt solar plant meets 20% of our power needs. And we have cultivated a biodiverse environment with over 100 native plant species. Furthermore, powder metallurgy itself is an accredited green manufacturing technology. It is a low energy, minimal waste process that produces fully recyclable components. We are fully aligned with the global decarbonization goals. We are innovating for a sustainable future, such as by developing components for green hydrogen electrolyzers. Next slide, please. In conclusion, our strong H1 FY26 performance is a direct result of our strategic focus, technical excellence, and relentless execution. We have built a solid foundation, achieved critical certifications, and now poised to accelerate our growth by expanding our global footprint and diversifying into future-ready product lines. We are confident, optimistic, and fully committed to building long-term value for all our stakeholders. Thank you for your time and continued trust in Innovet Advanced Materials. We are now happy to take your questions. Over to you, Muthukumar.
Vinay, am I audible now?
Yes.
Thank you, Vinay and Sarita, for that detailed and positive update. We will now begin with the question and answer session. I will now invite those who have questions to please raise your hand in the Zoom controls. Let me take a moment to see the hands coming in. Just one second. Is there any question? Yeah, Ayush Agarwal has a question. Just one second. I'm unmuting you.
Yes, sir. Good evening and thank you for the wonderful update. My name is Ayush Agrawal. I'm a research analyst at Ayush Agrawal Research. So I have...
Good evening, Ayush.
Good evening, sir. Good evening and thank you for the wonderful update. So sir, I have a very small question. Actually, I have four, but I'll only ask one question and then I'll come back in the queue after people have asked their question. So the 100 crore revenue target, the growth target that you've taken, this is for FY26, 27, or you've taken for the next 2-3 years and the tungsten heavy alloys contribution right now. So what do you expect it to be in the next 2-3 years? That is just the, main questions that I have right now, and I will come back in the queue later after others have asked.
Thank you for the question, Ayush. It's very relevant. And to answer your question, we are actually, running towards the 100 crore revenue per annum, and we are looking at a monthly growth that's coming. We are looking at that. I will not comment about the year, but the monthly run rate, we should be able to do it in about 12 to 14 months. So I think that answers that question. And coming to the tungsten heavy alloy, for various reasons, like the war situation in the world, depleted ammunition across various countries, and India becoming a choice partner, and India also exporting ammunition. So these are all going to contribute to a significant requirement in the tungsten heavy alloy space. And that we are the only one in the private sector, looking at opportunities to export and also in Indian defense. So significant improvement as a percentage of business in the tungsten heavy alloy will increase, and also it will come from exports as well. I hope I have answered your question.
Okay, so we will take the next question that has come from Arnab Bhattacharji. Arnab, I'm just unmuting you. Can you just ask your question, please?
Yeah,
Good evening,
thank
Arnab.
you. Good evening, Vinay sir. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand, first of all, the supply chain for our metal powders. How are like I like can you explain from where we are sourcing these materials? Also, I wanted to know, I believe the tungsten heavy alloy part is a forward integration of our metal powder section. Like we ourselves are taking the metal powder, converting that into tungsten heavy alloy, machining, and then for sort of supplying these to the defense sector. The third question I had was around this the new segments you just mentioned. For example, that are related to I think that green hydrogen. What are we manufacturing over there? Are these new alloys that we are getting into, or are these also based off tungsten alloy? Yeah, thank you. Those are my three
Well,
questions.
there are many questions there. So firstly, I will give you a structural understanding of our two divisions. So we have two divisions. One division we make metal powders, and the other division we make tungsten heavy alloys. So coming to the metal powders we manufacture, we do not manufacture tungsten metal powder, because the metal powders we are currently manufacturing are mostly through atomization, and tungsten is not produced through that route. It comes through a different route. So to talk about supply chain on the metal powder side, it's mostly about copper, tin, iron, sometimes cobalt and nickel. So copper and iron are mostly coming from pure scrap, whereas metals like nickel, tin, cobalt, chromium, these are all virgin materials. So we have no problem with these materials. Of course, metal prices are going up. That's one challenge we have to keep up to. And the second division, tungsten heavy alloys, key raw material is tungsten metal powder. So we do not produce tungsten metal powder as of now. So we are looking at that opportunity actively, but I don't want to make any comment on it. So our starting material for tungsten heavy alloys is tungsten metal powder with some nickel and iron, sometimes copper and cobalt in it. And then it is press sintered, machined, and some other tertiary operations are done on it before we actually supply to the customer. And coming to your third question about electrodes for electrolyzer, green hydrogen. So at the heart of the electrolyzer, the green electrolyzer, green hydrogen equipment lies the electrode. So it's basically a nickel material. It's not a heavy alloy. But since that comes under the powder metallurgy, we have been working on it for the past 3 or 4 years developing that. So once the R&D stage is over, there is a good opportunity for producing these in the country, because India is seriously looking at hydrogen economy, and then to cut down on the carbon footprint. I hope I have answered your question,
So,
Arnab.
so the electrode can be considered as a forward integration from the powder metallurgy, right?
Well, no, nickel, the kind of a powder that is required for this particular element, we do not produce. We do produce nickel powder, but that powder we do not use for this particular thing. So I cannot give you more information than that.
So
Sorry
the
about it.
chemistry, so the chemistry to make these powders, are they like significantly difficult? Can you tell me the barrier as to why we can't manufacture tungsten powder or the other powders which you mentioned?
Well, it is not about difficulty of producing. The thing is, there has to be a critical volume. Unless there is a certain critical volume that you consume, you don't want to get into a different technology. Like I told you, the tungsten metal powder comes from a different route, which we do not have. We are actively considering that, but currently we are procuring it from outside. Coming to the nickel powder, it is not about chemistry, but it's more about the particle morphology. That nickel powder, which needs to be used for the electrolyzer, is a different route altogether. It's about more about morphology than the chemistry.
Okay. Any idea whether, like, I wanted to know if you, so I'm based off Hyderabad. So if there is a factory visit, is it possible for to arrange for a factory visit for us investors so that we can go and take a look at your factory?
Absolutely. Please write to us. Please write to IR. I'm sure we will make arrangements one of the days as soon as possible to walk you around the whole place. I'm sure it will be interesting for you.
Thank you, Vinay sir. That's all from my
yes.
side. And wish
you
all the very best.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yes, our contacts and email ID is there in the PPT itself, so you could reach out to us anytime. And the next question is from Ashutosh Singh. So kindly request all the participants to just introduce yourself by telling also the name of the company you are representing. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm myself Ashutosh Singh, and I am a research analyst. And just wanted to ask that, so how much is currently the order book we have right now?
Sarita, can you answer? Thank you, Ashutosh. Sarita, can you answer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Ashutosh, for your question. So currently, as on yesterday evening, our order book stands at 18 crores. And in that, 14 crores is for the tungsten division and 4 crores is for the metal powder division. And metal powders is something that, you know, which we receive every 15 days. And in this 14 crores, close to 4.2 crores is exports. So that is where we stand. And coming to the tungsten of 14 crores, almost I expect anywhere between 75 to 80% to be executed within this year.
And how much we are projecting for the FY26, we are planning for how much we are going to close this financial year?
From last FY, we can anticipate another 25%, 25 to 30% as a modest growth, I would say, but we're still aggressively working on it.
Okay. On the profit and loss side, I was looking through. So I was understanding that. So despite our revenue from operations has been increasing, but my profitability tends to be a bit lower side. So in the FY23, we have something around 23.29 crore revenue from operation. And in 2025, we have booked 32.52 crore. But on the profit at PBT, that is something around 4.36 crore. But despite increasing so much high, my profitability tends to be 2.60 crore. So what is the major reason behind the not increasing the profitability percentage?
One thing I can attribute it is, you know, especially this first half, the metal price were very, very volatile. So we had to safeguard ourselves also. And of course, that is where we had to ensure that we deliver an order that we actually accepted. So that also impacted our profitability. Second thing is, right before the IPO, we had actually done a lot of capex. So that's why our depreciation and amortization cost have significantly increased. So that is the difference that you see from FY23, 24, and 25. If you were to compare the depreciation and amortization cost, it is significantly higher now. So that's why the PAT margins are, they've been very high in 23, whereas they're not that high as of now.
So we are also actually significantly investing on marketing and brand building for our future. So that is also taking away a lot of our, but they're all going to actually contribute to our future.
Okay. And another thing is that my auditors have mentioned that we have incorrectly, something discrepancy in the depreciation amount, 27.47 lakhs. So they have mentioned that incorrectly calculation. And
yes,
the second point is that they have mentioned that the inventory has been incorrectly valued by 2.86 crore.
Yes, sir. So, historically, our audit was done by our, when we started the company by our own auditor. And then when we moved to, We converted the company into a list, into a limited company, and then we changed our auditor. So the method of valuation of stocks was different, and the current auditor found that difference, and that's why we actually corrected in the year FY 24-25. So that is the difference that you see of 2.86, where it was valued at a higher side, and he wanted to correct that at some point of time because it was needed also, and that is what has been mentioned in the management report as well.
So you have mentioned that 2.86 crore effect we have taken right now. So we
Yes,
have.
last financial year, not this, yes.
Okay.
FY 25.
And one more question is, if could you go through me regarding the inventory cycle and the trade receivable cycles we have currently with the.
Okay, if I were to take the inventory cycle, the inventory turnover ratio is around 232 days for the last half yearly. And when it comes to receivables ratio, it's about 104. And payables is at 55.
So why my cash conversion cycle is too high? So is it the industry have the same cash conversion cycle, or does I am or not improving on an inefficient manner something, or does the stock have something that is not usable?
No, it is an average of both the divisions. If you were to see, Metal Powders has a different cycle, and Tungsten Heavy Alloy has a different cycle. So if you were to average it out, it is coming to 104 of the receivable cycle, the receivable turnover ratio. Not
Basically, we have two divisions. So two divisions calls for two different materials, stock, in-process material. And then in the two divisions also we have many products. So it's not one product. So we have to keep stock of many materials. So that's where it is not a normal industry. We don't have a kind of equivalent industry to give you a industry standard.
So out of my total stock, is it, are you saying that major of the raw material or the WIP we are holding?
All three are there. Raw material is there, work in progress is there, finished goods are also there.
So right now, as on the half yearly, see how half yearly, what is the currently the stock amount we have holding right now? And could you provide me the
16
breakup of
crores.
the raw material, finished goods, and WIP?
You want it now, or you want us to share it with you later on?
Could you just give me a breakup percentage of the raw material we are
So
holding
I would say
and
in
the
16 crores
WIP?
about. Pardon me?
16
Can you
crore
just repeat?
of? I just wanted to the percentage, roughly around the percentage, the raw material we tend to hold and the finished goods and the WIP we used to hold.
So WIP is always high because the most of material is under process. Raw material is, I would say, less than 30%. WIP is around 40 to 45%, and a little bit of consumables, and around 20 to 25% is in finished goods.
So we used to manufacture the as per the work orders we have. So we used to earlier get the work orders regarding for the next 1 to 2 months, right? From the our
Yes.
customers. So are we lagging somewhere? So as per me, it is something too high working capital cycle that we are following. And
No, the
how
other
we are
thing,
then we managing the funds. So as you can see that the return on equity that is too low. That is something around 7 to 8% roughly.
yeah, 6.5% roughly.
So no investor would like to get the 7 to 8% return on the equity. Why would they invest on this?
Okay,
So we will
let me.
go for a higher this thing very soon. All our efforts is to increase the sales only.
There is one more thing, Mr. Ashutosh, which I would like to clarify. If you have noticed how the markets have been behaving this year, especially the metal markets, even tungsten also, which we've been dealing with. I mean, the price of tungsten end of March and end of today is more than 100%. Now, we don't want to make a significant loss. So for that reason also, we have actually procured raw material and blocked that price so that we don't make a loss in processing. So when you see the inventory, though we have an inventory in the form of raw material and in semi-finished goods, because we had to stock that raw material. So even though the inventory carrying cost is definitely high, but not at the cost of fluctuating raw material price where it increased by 100%. So that would definitely impact, you know, the ROE or even the PAT also. But it's better than not buying and, you know, buying the raw material at a very high price, is what the management felt. So
But
that was
ROE
very.
and all that, I'm sure it'll improve once our turnover goes up. So
Yes, yes.
we are poised to increase our turnover. That is where the marketing efforts and all that is happening.
How much
So we
percentage
have
of
next
turnover?
on the yes.
One last
Ashutosh,
question.
can you keep it brief so we have four people on the line, so we can maybe you can ask the quickly a question and
One
then we
last
can
question.
go back to
How
the queue. Yeah.
much percentage of turnover we get from the export?
About 15% we got it in this half yearly, but we anticipate it to continue. Historically, it was between 8 to 9%.
And do you expect anything after the Trump effect, those so the foreign policies and everything?
In fact, our export market is US, by the way.
Yeah.
We're already the 15% that we have shown, majority is to the US. The tariff did not impact our customers. In fact, they're willing to buy at that high tariff also. So
But our marketing efforts have taken a hit because of this one. We are hoping something will change, and then we will continue to get new clients. So, but our existing clients are still buying from us in spite of the 50% tariff.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you,
Thank
sir.
you.
So
Thank you,
much.
Mr.
Thank you,
Ashutosh.
Ashutosh. Yeah.
Thank you, Ashutosh. The next question is from Majid Ahmed. Can you please unmute yourself and ask the question and introduce yourself?
Hello, sir. I'm audible?
Yes, Mr.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Majid. Yeah.
Yes, I'm Majid. I'm an investment analyst from Pinpoint X Capital. It is a family office. So that's about me. And my first question, sir, is how are we going to improve our margins? Especially, I'm seeing, as you said, there's raw materials are getting fluctuating and our margins are quite erratic. How are we going to stabilize that? Because at the end of the day, you might grow steadily, but however you have, what you can say, a strong operating profit growth as well, along with our revenue projections.
So few things are there. So our focus is largely on specialty products. So we are going to do a marketing of better value-added products. That will be the first effort. That is going to come from import substitution and then exports. So we have a major push on efforts on exports. So that's also going to contribute to that. And of course, new product development where our bottom line is better. Is our continuous efforts are already there. So all these three things definitely, and of course, most importantly, more capacity utilization. Today, our capacity utilization for metal powders is about 65-70% and tungsten heavy alloy about 40-45%. So once this also comes in, then definitely we will have a good bottom line.
And secondly, sir, how are we then going to ensure, in terms of what I could say, in terms of realization, like you are saying 65% in which one, sir, in tungsten?
65% of metal powders capacity utilization,
Okay.
which we are shooting for 100% and beyond
100%.
that. And tungsten heavy alloys, about 40-45% is there. There also we are shooting for 100%. So that is all about the marketing efforts and then whatever that AS standards and aerospace standards and all those things are going to give us support in all our marketing efforts.
So what's the again like what type of constraint do you see in terms of competition? Because there will be other players in the market in India where they're also targeting global markets. How do you see that you're standing?
So, for the past 20 years, we have been constantly looking at import substitutes. So, that's been our strength. And suppose somebody is actually becoming an Innomet substitute, we kind of move on. And then we are constantly working on new products. And of course, now that our marketing machinery is also activated and a lot of senior people have come into the department. So definitely, I don't think we have a problem. And particularly tungsten heavy alloys, this is one business where the entry barriers are very high. You know, the aerospace, defense, and all that. To get into that industry will take about at least 3 to 4 years for type approvals and all that. So we have a 12 to 14 years advantage, even if some competition is going to catch up. And of course, we are going to look at exports to USA, Europe, and Israel. And definitely India is a China plus one opportunity. So all these are going to play in our favor.
And sir, in terms of your cash flows and working capital, I'm seeing your working capital maybe this year, this H1 it was slightly improved, but on year-on-year basis, I'm seeing your working capital and others are quite elongated. Just wanted to know how are we going to manage that so that we have a improved return on capital employed as well as we improve cash flows and have sustained growth. And
So,
what
yeah,
are we taking here?
I think that was answered already by Saritha. So, you want to answer again, Saritha, maybe quickly?
I think it's been answered in by when Mr. Ashutosh had asked. So I think working on higher turnover and better profitability products. That's the only answer. Increase the volume and increase the product mix with more value add.
And ma'am, finally, in terms of inventory, is it on which method? Like, is it on FIFO or LIFO?
FIFO. It's written in the notes, sir. If you see it in the management room, MRL letter, it's written. I can share with you. Let me just read it out for you. It's written, the company is valuing the inventory on cost or NRV, whichever is lower. The company is following the FIFO method for valuation. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, ma'am, and all the very best.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Majid.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Majid. And the next question is from Maitri Shah. Can you please unmute yourself and introduce yourself and ask the question?
Yeah, sure. Hello, my name is Maitri,
Good
and
evening, Maitri.
good evening. And I'm from Sapphire Capital. I have a few questions. Firstly, on your metal powder division, what sort of margins do we have on each of these divisions? If you could give a bifurcation on that.
You want a
So we
spread?
have a wait, Sarda, you want to answer that?
No, you go ahead. Okay.
So we have a different portfolio. We have some products which are low margin but good volumes, and high margin good volumes. So it's a completely different mix. Anything between 12 to 30%. So it's a very complex mix. Our effort is to actually go for more higher margins now.
And in this metal powder division, which metal do we have the largest volume for right now?
Copper and copper mixes. There are a variety of coppers actually we produce both for exports and Indian import substitution, Indian import substitutes. So largely our thing is about copper.
Okay, and are we going to go forward with more forward integration for copper with copper cathodes or anything like that?
Forward integration, I didn't understand. What forward integration? Come
So
again,
for
please.
more value-added products in the copper rather than
Yes.
just
No, forward integration. We don't want to step into our customer's shoes. That's one very important thing we have maintained for all these decades. We never do what our customer does. So even our forward integration, the tungsten heavy alloy plant, nobody in the country is there. So that is why we did that forward integration. Otherwise, it's a very firm principle that we don't do any forward integration.
Okay. And so we are we planning on going for the backward integration on the tungsten side, like producing tungsten powder in-house as well? Is that on the cards?
Yes.
We are assessing it, ma'am.
Yeah.
We're
Okay.
assessing it, but
We are assessing it,
unless there's a
definitely.
captive market for it, don't want to venture into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, do you have volumes for each of these divisions? What sort of volumes are we selling? Or
Yeah,
how
we
do
do,
we look
ma'am.
at the metrics of this and for the future projections? I would.
To look at backward integration, is it?
Yeah.
So if you were to look at backward integration for our tungsten heavy alloy plant, of course, our volumes have to increase. Today we are at an average of about 1.5 to 2 tons per month. If you can take it to around 3 to 4 tons, then definitely it becomes viable. And of course, we will also look at other adjacencies. Just selling the metal powder itself, or tungsten carbide, or tungsten carbide products, and so many other things. So that's slightly into the future. Yes, we are actively considering it. Yes.
Okay. Secondly, on the new verticals that we're entering, so you mentioned the hydrogen electrodes. What are we doing in the EV batteries, the fuel cell technology, also for the camera bodies and these? atomic casks that we are entering into?
So the camera bodies and casks have already come into the commercial production. So we have already started producing and supplying in tens of numbers. So that is already in the production phase. Coming to the electrodes, still in the R&D phase, we are actually looking at increasing the sizes and actively talking to potential customers who are actually looking at building large electrolyzers. So that is slightly into the future. And fuel cell components, yeah, still under development.
Okay, and what sort of metals do we use in this cask and camera bodies? What alloys are we using there?
Basically tungsten heavy alloys. Maybe
Okay,
it
those
is
are
jacketed
tungsten.
with stainless
Okay.
steel and all that, but essentially tungsten heavy alloy. This
And
tungsten heavy
this
alloy is the
order
one
has.
which.
Yeah, sorry, please.
So tungsten heavy alloy has one property which is radiation shielding. So whenever you want to carry it or target rays, gamma rays and all that, this is the choice of material because it has very sharp edges as compared to lead or anything like that. So this is the one which is actually getting a push, with the people looking for more quality services in the medical and then the NDT devices and all that. So that is where the push is coming from.
Any new alloys that we're looking to enter, any new verticals right now that we might have on the cards, maybe next year or a year after that?
Tungsten heavy alloys, and yeah, we are looking at some alloys, but they're very much in the nascent stage. So definitely, I cannot comment on it right now.
Correct. Also, the margins that we have on the domestic business and the export business, what sort of differential do we have there?
Definitely, export business is definitely better in terms of margins and volumes. But the challenges with the geopolitics and all that is there, and then suddenly. You put a lot of effort, and then suddenly, because of one trade decision, all our plans are slightly put on hold. But definitely, our effort is to look at exports, both for both divisions.
And also the 100 crore target that you said that we'll reach the 10 crore run rate in within 10, 12 months. What is the split we are looking for? Is it going to be 50 from metal powders, 50 from tungsten, or is it
No,
going to
no,
be?
no, 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 no. Around 75 will be metal powders and 25 will be tungsten heavy alloys, slightly here and there.
And the margins we earn on tungsten, how much are they like more than the metal powder? What sort of margins do we have on the alloy side?
At tungsten heavy alloys, we have better margins, but they have long cycles and technically very challenging, and volumes are also not that very high. But definitely, we are pushing both because. On the metal powder side also there are products which yield better results. So we are pushing those powders and exports and of course tungsten heavy alloys.
Okay, and these tungsten heavy alloys, these are customized products that we are selling to the customers. So they're not more commoditized in the range, right? So
No, they
the
are not
margins range, so we
commodities.
can
They are
expect a much premium margins. Do we expect upwards of 30% margins that we are earning from the metal
Yeah,
powder?
tungsten heavy alloys, yes, around that range is quite feasible. 25 to 30,
30,
30 is a
25 to 30.
reasonable expectation. But that doesn't mean that we can go overboard also. So definitely, yeah, already the benchmark is set, and then
There are limitations in terms of technology, in terms of usage, in terms of barriers, because it's the end user's defense. So those are the barriers. But yes, there is still opportunity because one biggest opportunity is we can actually export these products. So
Correct.
that's where we actually are working on.
Okay, and we just received aerospace certification also. So are we in talks with some companies in India and also in the export market? Do we have orders in pipeline for that that are like not right now in the
Nothing.
order book, but discussions are still going on?
No, we already actually
Yeah.
supplied to aerospace industries, like take for instance HAL. So we've been supplying for almost like 7 or 8 divisions across India. So apart from that, yes, our efforts are into exporting it to aerospace companies across the globe. The efforts have just started, so it'll take some time to mature. And of course, the certification takes some time. When it is not just that we receiving the aerospace certification, the product certification approvals take its own time, so we have to parallelly work on that. But yes, there is a lot of opportunity.
Okay. And just one last question. When do you see this division scaling up from this to 1.5 to 2 tons to close to 4 tons per month sort of run rate going forward?
Yeah, we have actually offered many quotations, you know. So we are because there is a lot of price fluctuation and all that, everybody is actually settling on the price. So we are hoping that things will move forward because the world needs ammunition and then whatever price they have to buy. So we are hoping in the next few months things should stabilize, and the hope is that, you know, the purchases will start very soon.
Okay, and the realizations, so does the realization impact our margins, or our margins do stay stable regardless of what the realizations the tungsten has?
But what do you mean by realization?
So the per ton realization, since there's a lot of volatility in the tungsten metal, does that impact our EBITDA margins, or are we hedged some?
No. Whenever we take an order, we make sure that we buy the material and keep it. That is where the whole inventory and all that you see, the other questions were there, no? So that is where. So we never take that chance at all. So this is all, whenever there is an order, immediately within the next few days, we will, confirm our with our suppliers. So yeah.
Currently, we're
Thank you.
not
Thank
in
you,
a
Maitri,
stage to
for yeah.
Currently,
Yes,
we're
please go.
not in a stage to hedge any material because we're not in that volume game. So that will be a forward thing, when only when we are assured of some volumes in both the divisions. Otherwise, we frankly don't want to get into that space right away.
Okay. And also, how long does it take for a contract to kind of come to us after the discussions? Because these are quite critical materials that we're supplying to the aerospace and defense. What sort of lead time do we have for these contracts?
Depends. If it's a government one, it takes a couple of months. But if it's a private one, it's settled in 1.5 months.
Okay, thank you, Maitri.
Yeah,
Sorry,
thank you
many
so
people
much.
are in the
So
queue,
sorry. Yeah,
so
yeah.
we will
Thank you,
ask the next
Maitri.
question.
Thank you so much.
Yes, just a clarification that, you know, we're just finishing with the first round of questions from our people, and then we'll take up the second round. So, Saumil Jain, can you please unmute yourself and talk? Thank
Hi,
you.
thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah,
I
good
wanted
evening, Saumil.
Good evening, sir. I wanted to understand, a large part of our metal powder sales, does that get manufactured via water atomizers or gas atomizers?
Currently, it is maximum almost 98% is water atomized.
Okay.
Yeah, but we are actually about to commission a gas atomizer. So in the next few months, that should start commercial production. But otherwise, whatever currently we are selling is only development and all that.
Are these the gas atomizer that you're trying to set up? Is that the vacuum based or the open-ended ones?
Ah, okay. So it's a kind of a back purged with inert gas, not exactly vacuum, but back purged with inert gas.
Okay, so back purge with inert gas. Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of purity you can achieve with that, this gas, these sort of gas atomizers?
What did you say?
The fineness, below 50 micron, 20 micron.
So are you, what kind of an application are you talking of?
Now, what is the extent to which we can go with gas atomizers? I think water atomizers have a certain limit, right? They cannot go below
No, no, no,
50
no.
micron.
Gas atomization is about cleanliness of the powder and more sphericity. Whereas a water atomizer will give you more irregular powders.
Okay.
Not about fineness. Fineness, both can give you fineness, but the main difference is the cleanliness, the oxygen content, all that. You
Okay.
have better control on gas atomized, particularly with certain alloys like nickel, cobalt, and all that.
The one that you're setting up, the gas atomizer, is that, you know, based on VIM, if vacuum injection only sort of tech,
No,
or no, no.
no. That's what I told you. It's not vacuum, but it is actually backfilled with
I see.
inert gas.
What would be the difference between a backfill with inert gas atomizer or something like a Vega? What would be the core difference?
Cost is the bigger difference of performance and all that. Only when we do, we will know. Because certain things, certain aerospace grades and all that, you need a vacuum inert gas melting facility.
Yeah.
So how can control? Yeah, there are challenges, but yeah, we are working on that.
But would the sort of atmospheric impurities affect if you don't have a vacuum
Yes.
gas facility?
Definitely. If you don't have a proper vacuum system, definitely it is a compromise. But these are certain things, you know, it depends upon whether what kind of an application you are chasing. If you are looking at aerospace applications, definitely this is not a good idea. But
I
there are
see.
certain applications where you can actually hone your skills and then set up a vacuum melting facility. That's just about investment.
Got it. How much would a vacuum Vega cost, or and how much the current setup that we have cost? What is the differential, roughly?
So these are all we are making. So whatever numbers I give you, and if you kind of correlate with what you have in the market, they will not
So you're making the entire
tally.
setup yourself?
We are building the setup ourselves. Yes, that's our strength. That's our strength. We have
Okay,
been in this
great.
business for 20 years, so we have built our own equipment. That's one of our key strengths.
Wonderful. Good to know. And I see on your presentation, Hogenas as is mentioned as a client.
Yes,
But if I
yes.
understand correctly, they are themselves manufacturers of iron alloy powders
Yeah.
and
We
also
don't
some special alloys. So,
we don't manufacture what our customer makes, like the bulk iron powder, the bulk copper powder, and all that. So we make import substitutions. So otherwise, Hoganas would have been importing certain materials. That's what we have been selling to them for the past 14 years now.
they're white labeling their sort of product and selling it in the Indian market,
No,
something
they
like
don't
that.
white label. They admix and sell. So, yeah.
What would be our per kg realization for iron powders, for nickel powders?
They're vastly varying, actually, depending upon the application and all that. They're vastly varying. So, if I give you a number,
A
that doesn't
range?
make any sense.
Can you give me a range?
For what?
Iron and for nickel.
Iron?
Yeah.
We actually
Iron
don't do
should.
iron. We actually really don't do much of iron. It's a very specific iron powders that we
Yeah, very
manufacture.
special. We produce iron, but they're all very special grades.
Copper.
So, what is your question actually? Come again.
The ASC per kg, average selling price per
What's the
kg.
AFC? What AFC?
ASP, average selling price per kg of some of
Ah.
the alloy powders that you sell. It might be copper, it might be nickel, it might be iron,
They're
anything.
vastly varying. If it is iron, it is about 150 to 175 rupees a kilo. If it
Okay.
were nickel, it should be about 3000 to 3500 rupees a kilo. Different. There's so many variations. So
Three
whatever
to three
number I give
thousand.
you, whatever
Yeah,
kind number.
it'll depend on the metal, but that's what I'm asking. For a specific metal, for like nickel, you mentioned 3500.
Totally. Even certain applications, probably 7000 also will be less. So
Okay.
yeah, it's a very complex, application-oriented, specification.
And what is the pricing basis? Is it on the sort of how
So
do you,
pricing depends upon the volumes. Firstly, volumes, and then what kind of a yields you are getting, and what kind of a stringent quality specs are there. So I think the first thing is the volume. Second thing is how stringent the specifications are there, and what's the competition. So standard stuff, there's nothing extraordinary. And exports, when you export it, then there's a better margin there.
What would be the CapEx for setting up your own gas atomizer?
So
I think we
gas,
can answer all these when you if you can write an
yeah,
email
you should
also.
come over here. Actually, you should come over here. Definitely, we can have a long discussion on
It's
this.
a complete technical thing.
But
I think more like a
yeah.
couple of other people waiting to be answered. Sorry to
Yes.
interrupt, but I think you
Yeah,
can
thank you so
definitely write.
much. Sure. Thank you.
Please
Thank you for your
visit.
time,
I
sir.
will suggest you should come over. I think you have a certain understanding of the industry. So definitely, I would like to talk to you, yeah, in more detail.
I'll reach out to you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so
Thank you,
much.
Mr. Sir.
Thank you, Saumil. And the next question, can Kapil Advani unmute yourself and ask your question?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Kapil ji.
Good evening,
Good evening,
Mr.
sir. Good evening, ma'am. I'm Kapil from Arth AIF. We are a Jaipur-based SME fund. So my first question is on the exports. What is the portion of exports we do for US?
At least 80%, I would say.
of the total exports, right?
Yeah.
So, are we still supplying the our products to US, or is the
Yes,
operation
yes.
okay?
Yes,
So,
yes, yes.
okay. So, what is the incremental cost the customers are facing right now?
So we are doing ex work. So all the custom, whatever 50% tariff and all that is taken care of by the customer. So yeah, they are bearing they are bearing the brunt of it. So yeah.
Okay, so it is a pass through.
Yeah, I mean every export
Yeah,
we
yeah, yeah. It's
actually
always ex works. Ours is ex works. Whatever we are doing
exports.
is.
We don't take that FOB or FCA and all that. We're very clear that we just do exports.
Okay, got it. And ma'am, what is the mix that you are targeting when we will achieve the 100 crore revenue figure for the export and domestic?
Export, we are looking there. Definitely 30-35% will be exports. That's where our more focus is.
Our efforts are towards it, but it's too early to, give a ballpark figure. But definitely, it should go beyond 20%, because currently we're at 15, and we only hope it'll go beyond 20-25% on an average.
Okay.
There's one more. Yeah, Kapil, have you? Is there any further questions?
Yes, I do have one.
Okay.
So, sir, what is the highest margin products that we have, and are we looking to, include more of these products into our base?
Yeah, so generally speaking, I will say exports are giving us better margins. So our focus is there, but unfortunately, particularly US, we have put in a lot of efforts, but this 50% tariff is actually becoming an impediment for us. We are hoping that will go. But anyway, our existing customers are still buying from us, luckily. So, yeah.
So, sir, my question was on the product side,
Hmm.
like which of the products do have the highest margins?
Highest margins, you mean to say in metal powders?
Both.
So there are some very special powders which we are supplying to USA, which are giving us better margins, but I cannot give you the name or the customer's name also, because they are all bound
Okay.
by NDA. So, yeah. But
Okay.
otherwise, tungsten heavy alloys are better margins, but they have long cycles and they have issues with that, yeah.
Okay. And sir, we are also supplying to Indian Army. So what other players we compete with in India?
You're talking about tungsten heavy alloy division.
Right.
So in India, tungsten heavy alloy division, there is one defense organization called Heavy Alloy Penetrator Project, so which produces similar things. But most of our products is not interesting to them, and their products is not interesting to us. So we hardly meet any places. So it's largely we are the only one in the country, at least in the private sector, an Indian company producing these materials.
So, sir, by considering our revenue size, so is that the demand is low for these products?
Definitely, it is a niche product. There are some other imports also coming in. So,
From where, sir?
from Europe.
Okay. Okay, sir, that is all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kapil ji.
Thank you, Mr.
Viray,
Kapil.
one question has been put on the chat box. Mr. Faisal, he's not able to ask the, there is some audio issue. I'm just reading out what he has put on the chat box.
Yeah.
My question was on the technical collaboration with Alpmin. The company is building a lithium iron phosphate gigafactory. Is Innomate a contributor here through the technical partnership?
Yes, actually, we have done the pilot scale for Altman before they could actually take big decisions We did a pilot project because this has actually come from a technology transfer from ERCI, and then we had an MOU with ARCI for developing this material on a lab scale, or a slightly bigger than lab scale. And then the same thing, we took it forward with Alkmin. So, but otherwise, as of now, we are not doing anything for Alkmin. That was in the past. I hope I have answered the
No,
question.
it's one more thing is
Pfizer.
we successfully demonstrated that technology. So
Yes. We successfully demonstrated that, scaling up.
any more questions, Mr. Mathur?
Yes. Yes, Kapil has some follow-up question. Can you, Kapil, unmute yourself and talk?
Yes, sir. So, sir, what are the margins we are targeting that can be sustainable when we do the 100 crore top line in the future?
So we are looking at a 12 to 14% PAT, Kapil.
Okay, sir.
At that levels, 12 to 14% should be comfortable.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kapil. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
So we'll wait for another 1 or 2 minutes. If there are no further questions, Vinay and Sarita could give the address, and we can close the session. We'll wait for 1 more minute for you to ask the question. There's a question from Sahil Raj wants to ask a question. Just 1 second.
Good evening, Sahil.
Yeah, good evening, Vinay sir. Sir, my question was regarding we were in collaboration with IIT sometime back, progressing on some project or something. So, you can explain more on that, how far it has progressed and all.
Well, it's at a very advanced stage. Very advanced stage. I cannot comment more than
No,
that.
this is about the one which we have executed, right?
Oh, we have already executed, is it? Okay. So
Yeah,
we have
the one.
actually done a project with IIT Chennai in setting up a 10 kg gas atomizer way back 3 or 4 years ago. So it was successfully set up, and then we did some kind of alloy called.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we did some very special alloys for that, and it was successfully completed more than 2 years ago. Well, I thought you were talking of something more recently. We're
This
actually
one.
working, actively working on.
Yeah, I was talking about the more recent one.
Well, recently one is at a very advanced stage, but sorry, I cannot give you anything more than that. It's because it's not in our hand yet, so I cannot comment on that. Yeah, definitely it's
All
a
right,
big
so
opportunity is one thing I will tell you.
and do we see it being commercially viable in some time, in the next year or maybe in FY28 or beyond?
Yes. It should be. If it is happening, it should happen in the next 1 to 1.5 months. So it should be, I mean, commercially it should be done. It should be up and running in the next 2 years.
All right, sir. And do we have any potential figures around that, or is it too early to say?
No. So that is a completely, I mean, I'm not even supposed to talk about it. Because
All right, sir.
it's not yet finalized, so I don't want to, jump the line here.
It's
All
in
right,
a
sir.
discussion phase, Mr. Sahil. So, so many things we discuss, so we don't know which status we are in that we're not in a position to reveal anything. Once it's up and not final, we'll put it up in the, we'll send an intimation which everybody will get to know about it.
All right. Okay. Thank you for answering.
All right. Thank you,
Mr.
gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, for patient hearing. And we hope we have answered your questions. And we look forward to having your continued support.
Thank you to everyone for joining us today. We truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Over to you, Muthu.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're ending the call right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Keith. Thank you.